Good morning, everyone. Buenos dias. I am Crystal, one of the pastors here at CityWell. For anyone who knows me, they knew that when I saw the lectionary text of Revelation 21 this morning, I really wanted to preach about that. However, the Lord saw fit to lead me in a different direction. Not only will I be preaching from Acts this morning, but the Lord also told me, for the first time, you will preach and liturgically dance because there is a praise in you this morning that has to get out. So, y'all pray for me. I'm gonna pray for us all, and we're gonna do this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, you call us to do things that we would never imagine. You call us to places that sometimes we would rather not go, to people who we say are not family. But I thank you this morning, Spirit of the Holy One, for you don't ever let us hinder you. You do as you will, and we thank you, for in your doing, we are transformed and we see your overwhelming, majestic love. Thank you, O God. This morning, with the words that I say, anything that is I'm not supposed to say, let it blow away like the chaff. Let the wind carry it away. But, oh God, let your words that you mean for your children to hear be planted deeply in the soil of their hearts and bear much fruit for your glory. It is in Jesus' name I pray. And let the church say amen. Amen and amen. I have been in the book of Acts, and it's interesting in this time between Easter and Pentecost. It's great to see what the Lord has done as the church was birthed. We call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but it probably would be better to call them the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that is the one who's doing all the work. Amen?
Amen.
Hear these words from Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 11. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angels standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I was raised in a small church in New Jersey, small non-denominational church where the pastor was baptized in the Baptist. He was ordained in the Baptist tradition. And we were kind of Pentecostal in flair. We were eclectic, as it was. My mother sent me to an Assemblies of God Christian school. If you don't know, that is a predominantly white Pentecostal charismatic denomination. And there, in addition to what I learned at my home church, I grew to love the Bible, to love the Word of God, to be able to recite the Word of God verbatim. I know whole chapters of Genesis, y'all. I knew what God had to say about human sexuality. I kissed dating goodbye. I had a true love waits ring. And for any of y'all who were familiar with Juanita Bynum, I believed there was no more sheets for me. I knew who I was in the Lord and what God expected of me. This is a good place to enter our text this morning. Peter is confronted with his decision to eat with uncircumcised men. In other words, why are you eating with those people, the Gentiles? They had heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God, but that was not really what they were concerned with. What they were concerned with was following Torah, about being a people marked by this thing, circumcision, that what it means to be a child of God is something that they could explain. Underneath the question of who you are eating with is a question of identity. What you believe, who is in and who is out of the family of God, who gets to be in relationship with who, and more importantly, who gets the honor and the privilege to be in relationship with God. Peter hears the question that his brothers from Jerusalem answer. He doesn't go through Jewish theology or Torah or the law or even the prophets as he had in previous sermons in Acts. No, this time Peter gives his testimony. He is a witness to something amazing that God is doing, and he must, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give a step-by-step account of what has happened, giving voice to his experience, all of his experience. Truth be told, we value certain kinds of knowledge and privilege certain voices and bodies over others. The concept of being a witness has always been in flux. Who has the authority to give a testimony? In this time, and we talked about this before, it had to be two men. That was the way a word was established. Two men giving the same account. In this, our own country, these United States, a black person could not give testimony in a court. Who has the authority to be a witness? For Peter, this day that looked like a trance, it was actually God inviting Peter into God's expansive love and inclusion. Get up, eat, kill, thus saith the Lord. The Reverend Dr. Willie Jennings reminds us that this is not our ideal of capitalism and commodification, consumption and excess. This get up, kill, eat. This is God who knows in a lot of ways we are what we eat. We remember, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In this moment, God gets to transgress Peter's ideas of what is clean and what shall be consumed and what shall be embraced and who gets to be indwelled. Thus saith the Lord, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. In each of our lives, there is an experience, some things that have happened to us that point us closer to God. And when others hear it, it in turn points them closer to God, closer to the image of God in us and to the image of God in each other. We don't always understand, but we are asked to believe. Listen to them as they tell it, step by step. Although I was raised in the church, I had serious issues with self-esteem. I was a fat kid. One of my frenemies in school used to call me a butterball. As a child, I saw the TV ads and I read 17, and I didn't look like any of the girls in those magazines. Or when I was growing up, I don't even know if it's a thing anymore. MTV was all the rage. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, y'all. And I grew up bombarded with these images. I remember sitting in my class as a fifth grader as I thought about who I was and how I didn't like myself, and I took a protractor to my hand. This led me on a journey of self-mutilation that quickly led to suicidal thoughts and actions. One day I was sitting on my bed, cutting my arm yet again, trying to sever this vein, the vein that the books that my dad had bought me, the medical books, told me, if it bled enough, you won't stay around for long. The Holy Spirit came to me in that moment, the still small voice, the presence when you're in the room and you know you're the only one, but somebody else is here. The voice didn't tell me to stop. The voice simply said, wait. Wait. Preteen, wait, because what I have for you is more than you could ever imagine. I know your heart, your desire for me. I know you desire not to feel this pain anymore. Wait. Wait on me. I got up. I stopped what was a whole lot of bleeding. I bandaged myself up. And I went to sleep. I got up. Thanks be to God. The Holy Spirit was the one in that room with me. And I believed that witness. Wait. Step by step, we get to tell and explain our stories. Thus saith the Lord. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. Unlikely friends, dying to old ways, resurrected to new ones, new relationships. As we welcome people in their stories, this inherently changes our story. We cannot further wax nostalgic over the past. The integration of new friends and new stories means our story gets to be changed too. Listening to the word of God in others, that is the way we get closer to the living God. So Peter is the guy for this job, y'all. The one who denied Christ, the one who knows he has messed up, now he is ready to listen with open ears. No more, get behind me, Satan. This is the rock in whom the church will be built. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. The willingness to be wrong, vulnerable, the opportunities to embrace, be led where you do not know, to have outcomes that baffle you, that you never saw coming. Dying to your old self in old ways, resurrected to new ways and new relationships and new ways of being with others. As we welcome people and their stories, it changes our story. Then the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. I have mentioned this before. I was a part of a campus ministry. We won't say the name. When I was in undergraduate school, I was heavily involved in this ministry. I was the vice president of the chapter, and that meant I got a chance to plan our large group meetings. I also led many of the Bible studies. I began to appreciate the different interactions and flavors of our Christian faith, all of the denominations and the way that we worship God. I was beginning to understand what it meant not to make a distinction between them and us. One of the young ladies, Shauna, a bubbly, energetic, full of life and Holy Spirit, she was one of the young people who I would pray with and hang with most often. She confided in me and then to some of the others in our group that she had same-sex attraction. She was sure that according to what she knew about the Bible, that God would take this away from her. I remember, being the novice Bible scholar that I was, I explained to her, not only would God take this from you, but through prayer and fasting, you would be made whole. So we fasted together and we prayed together, and those brothers who she felt comfortable with prayed for her, but still Shauna had the attraction. We all embraced her until we found out that she had started dating a woman. Then things got weird. There were no more prayers for our sister, no more fellowship. The family had broken up. I found out through campus gossip that Shauna was sick. I prayed for her from afar, but not the way I should have, not when my sister was diagnosed with cancer at 22. I, her sister in Christ, abandoned her in her hour of need. My journey from loving the sinner and hating the sin to neutrality about homosexuality to being an ally to totally being affirming starts at this moment, step by step. Let me explain the whole thing. There was something deathly wrong with me not being there for Shauna. I was silenced when I was able to see the power of God heal her from this cancer. I was silenced when I saw that she was in a loving relationship with her partner, and they both had happily moved abroad and were living as a family. And because I had not been bold like Peter in following the leading of the Holy Spirit, or the tenet of my faith, which marks all my endeavors, to love, I can see why Shauna has no stomach for church or for church folk. Because when you know that love is the more excellent way, when you know that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, your love shouldn't fail your sister. My love failed Shauna. Full stop. Period. But God loves, never will, never did, and never can. Who was I that I could hinder God? Citywell, we are a beautiful multicultural slice of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. We must realize that we too have to actively fight against privileging certain voices, certain bodies, certain testimonies, certain witnesses, because God doesn't. There is no partiality with God. We must go further than we ever thought love's embrace would lead us. We must make space for each other, for our experiences, for our witness, for our very lives in God. Doing what Peter did, acknowledging that God has more than enough love and desire to go around. The room actually will get bigger when all God's children, all our siblings are in the room. And even if we try, even in our brokenness, if we fail, God's love remains consistent. The Holy Spirit is moving in the midst. We cannot hinder God. Thus saith the Lord. Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. The circumcised believers were silenced by the step-by-step testimony and witness of Peter to the power of God in their midst. They went from, as my brother Cleve stated, a posture of policing who was in the family of God and who could be included in God's love to a posture of praise. From policing to praise. Because God's love is so unfailing that even when you recognize that the Gentiles have been included, all you can do is praise God, because that means that you have been included too. In this final moment, I want you to think about this. If you will humor me, close your eyes for a moment. Who are the ones whom you are prone to policing? Who are the ones that you are prone to policing? Then God has given to you the Republicans, the liberals, the conservatives, the progressives, the pro-life, the pro-choice, the LGBT community, the straight community, the Mexicans, the blacks, the white supremacists, the white liberals, the KKK members, the Black Lives Matter protesters, females, the female preachers, the males, and everyone who identifies as their gender, they or gender neutral and fluid, the Muslims, the Jews, and the Gentiles. God has given even to them the repentance that leads to life. Citywell, that is the message by which we and this entire world will be saved. You can open your eyes. As I thought about this posture of praise that Cleve discussed, I took a moment, and after meditating on what I was going to say, all I could do is praise God for God's expansive love. And then I felt like Miriam over in the book of Exodus, where she, after the children of Israel come through the Red Sea, after being slaves in Egypt, experience freedom and liberation. And she is so excited that she picks up a timbrel and leads the women in a procession of dancing. All I could think to do was to dance, for this text is truly a liberating text. When we understand God's love for us and all of humanity, it overwhelms us. So I embody my worship, as I'm sure some of you do as well. As Jesse always says, be free in your praise. That means you don't have to just look at me. Amen. You can get up and praise God for yourself. For today, you are loved. You are the beloved of God. There are folks out there that perhaps you didn't think were included in the love of God, but rejoice because they are. And know this, that even for our shortcomings and our failings, God still loves us deeply. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will know that love and love each other well. Amen. Okay, thank you. I'm a person who needs to know the words of a song before I can just really get into it. So the words of this song are, our God is a way maker. God is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. She is the light in the darkness. Our God, that is who you are. Amen.